Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, I guess we're not doing that this time. All right.
Well, that was the joke. That was the start. I don't know. No. Just kidding. We don't cut. No second takes.
I don't think we've ever done a cut.
We did. It was like way back in COVID. And I said, can you put Taps music in when I announced all the players that retired? And Jackson cut, put Taps in, and then just came back to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I did not have the audio or technical capabilities to overlay music at that point in time with our Google Drive base files. But yeah, welcome now to Audacity. Welcome to Spotify.
Yeah, welcome to the future.
And yes. Welcome to the 20 for 20 podcast.
Season 4.
Well, season X, but...
Well, season 4 of the podcast.
Yeah.
Season X of the Fantasy League.
As will be episode 4. How little we've done in the past couple of years.
We did 2 to start off the season.
Yeah.
Back to back. And then we took a vacation, you know. I've always found it interesting, actually. There's a couple of fantasy podcasts where, like, key individuals on the podcast go on vacation in the month of August and in the month of December. It's like, obviously you should be able to go on vacation when you want. But there are certain, like, this is your industry.
Yeah.
Their draft season is, I understand, right, they have families. That's very important. But I always found it peculiar, like, you could have went in June or July, but the football news is very few and far between
or
for the most part.
March.
Where
there's nothing.
Well, I guess the argument is if you have kids, that they'd be out of school.
Okay.
So that I think that's a fair argument. But, like, and then there's one of the shows in December where they go on vacation, like, during championship week before Christmas, and it's like, just go on Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not us. We just don't do shows.
Exactly.
But we're always here for you if you really wanted to talk to us. No days off.
Nope, absolutely no days off. Hit us up in the group chat. Speaking of Season X, guess what's coming back? The slides, baby. I don't think anyone used it, but we're still doing it. We still have the claim of being the only fantasy football podcast with slides.
And that's a big claim right there. We have no fact check, but also no one has proved us wrong yet.
Exactly. And that's all that matters.
When we eventually do YouTube, you'll be able to see the slides. But until then, you just have to pretend.
We just discovered Spotify last year. We're not going to be able to figure out
how to do YouTube. No, we've had Spotify for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not going to be able to figure out YouTube for like another 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a while. You get to 10 monthly listeners, and then we'll...
We have 10 monthly listeners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we get the Spotify premium where we get to see all of our listeners and sell their data?
I don't know if that's a thing.
Oh, well, it should be a thing.
Yeah, we could do ads if we wanted. It's 10 cents for every 1,000 listens.
Really?
Yeah. So, they give you a recording and they ask you, they go, here are your key points, and you do a minute and a half ad.
We could do that.
We could.
Let's get those numbers bumped up. Let's get 10 cents in the pod.
And half of those league winnings, I think we'd be willing to commit to the league pot.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more than half.
A little bit more than 51%.
There we go.
So,
anyways, we do have slides, which means we prepared a little bit.
Yes.
We do have a to-do list.
All right. So looking through this for the first time, what's news? Quick division review. A kangaroo court, thoughts on Thursday's game, any opening thoughts on week 1, and of course, what the heck is going on here? So, thank you to Noodle for being the content creator once again here.
I had nothing going on tonight. You're welcome, world. So, let's start out with what's news. A little bit of news about us. There was a little wedding action involving some league members.
That's true. That's true. Travis became
congrats, Travis.
The first league owner to tie the knot, to become married out of the 20 teams. So congratulations to him and his newlywed.
No hardship grant for you, Travis.
That is true.
Absolutely not. Sorry.
No, but they did have a wedding at none other than Lambeau Field was the reception. And so very fitting. Shows his commitment to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing some scouting on the field before the reception. I saw him. There's some photos I'm sure that'll come out. He was holding up a Jordan Love jersey, who I don't believe he has on his team, so it might be an indication of who he's looking to get going forward.
It's a good thing he loves Jordan.
So, It actually was. They were walking me through the whole meta where they got they wanted a Jordan Love jersey for their photos because they got married on their 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, number 10.
Okay.
Travis's wife's name, Jordan, the last name Love. I mean, some photos with them holding up a jersey
yeah.
that says Love and 10. Like, I was telling them, that's a custom jersey for anybody except for them, basically. Like, if you want to go and do that. But they said that because of the new because the season's coming soon, that they couldn't find the jersey was sold out online. So they actually drove to Lambeau a couple weeks ago and got one of the last ones at the Packer Pro Shop.
Dang.
So, but a very fun time. Very fun wedding. A wedding that was truly them. So
yeah,
it was great. It was great. Mm-hmm.
In other news, I'm now ambidextrous.
Yeah, so first, a shout-out to the League Combine winner, Tom. There are only a couple casualties of the event, one being Eric's hamstring, and then probably more long-term was Noodle's wrist.
Yeah, I broke my wrist. It's going to be in a cast for another 3 weeks-ish.
Yeah.
So I've been learning how to do everything with my left hand, and that's been fun.
Yep, so for those of you that bet on it being a sprain instead of broken, I'm afraid you lost.
Yeah, that's tough.
So...
my hamstring's fine, by the way. It was a one-day thing.
Thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
I was really concerned.
We figured it
yeah.
was brought up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, in particular, was very worried.
Just saying. Still scored a bunch of touchdowns at the combine, regardless.
So, then on to actual football news. Jackson Tross is on the pup. I don't understand this one, Josh.
Not quite.
It's not because I'm physically unable to perform that I'm not in the NFL.
I think that's exactly why.
You're getting a puppy.
So okay.
Yeah, that's why Jason's not here. He's pissed that we're getting a dog.
I mean, I might walk out too if that's the case. Love dogs, just highly allergic. Anyways, JT, Jonathan Taylor, is on the physically unable to perform list. Means he'll miss the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yep, and that is tough for...
Mark.
Yes. Mark's used to not having a running back.
And he took him 18th, I think, overall in the first round, so yeah. Not as catastrophic as it could have been.
You know what's funny? When the whole, like, trade thing was going on, the, like, mystery team was the Packers.
Yeah.
And Sleeper, which is, like, they do news, people can comment on it, too. There's so many people that were like, why would Jonathan Taylor want to live in Green Bay? And I was like, he went to college in Wisconsin. Like, you don't know ball.
Madison's not a
thing.
Whole lot better than Green Bay.
It's really not. They're not that far away from each other. That was just a fun little thing I saw.
I mean, as far as cities go, they're about as similar as they
can
be.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Which, actually, this is just a funny side note, but playing the new Madden, you can make it a superstar now, and then they'll draft you just to whatever team needs your position in like the draft stock that you get from doing the combine drills. My player just happened to go to Green Bay. But as you progress, they go like, oh, we got you like a new apartment. And so they get you an apartment in the game and you look out the window and it's like all skyscrapers. And I'm like, this isn't Green Bay. And then they're like, oh, we got you a flat. And it's like, this also clearly is not Green Bay.
The skyscrapers in Green Bay, a.k.a. the three-story building.
Yeah.
Has a Macy's on the bottom floor and apartments on the top.
So yeah, Lambeau Field, the like balcony view is just like trees.
Yeah.
Like, there's
yeah.
not much
you
to look.
See,
you can
see residential areas.
Yeah, it's just trees.
Which is pleasant.
Yeah.
It's just different than other stadiums, downtowns.
I love that when you go to park there, it's like, oh, we're parking in someone's front yard.
Yeah, that's a big mm-hmm. one. Yeah.
So, then we have Cooper Kupp has found his new home.
Amongst the white people in Minnesota, he's currently getting treatment by a specialist in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
He's going to miss week one.
Yeah.
I think that was announced today.
He's already ruled out, yeah.
Yep.
I think McVay said they haven't ruled out IR yet for him. So that's Christian's team. Who I happen to be playing. Fun little snippet.
How convenient.
We may...
Wait, you're not playing Christian, though.
What?
So that was where I walked us through earlier how when we did the league schedule to
okay.
allow for... wait, when did you look, I guess? Is the big
I
question.
Have been looking.
Okay, well, if it's within, like, the last week, then it's correct.
Okay, I check every time. It's
okay.
Be Christian week one.
Yeah, every morning Eric wakes up and says, who am I playing? Who am I playing? Who am I playing?
I like
it is
memory.
Eric Christian. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Yep. Yeah, Kupp currently in Christian's starting lineup, projected to lose by 20 points. But we'll get more onto that later.
Yep. Last but not least, in kind of the big actual football news, Travis Kelce, he got an owie.
Not a good one either.
He got a bone bruise on his knee, I think.
So, yeah, he hyperextended his knee, which on the Kelce and Kelce podcast, Jason Kelce was saying it was a bone bruise. But yesterday they were unable to take, I believe it was an MRI, because it was so swollen.
Oh,
so, yeah. Yeah, a couple different varying reports there. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea how long it will take him to recover.
Sucks for Sam. Took him at 8, one pick before me. I was really glad when he took him.
Would you have taken him?
I was very much so probably going to take him.
When you think about the fact it could have been Kelce versus Kupp in week one, would have been kind of fitting.
That would have been
that way. But
very even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who takes over for Kelce's targets in that offense week one? If he can't play. I saw that there was a report saying he might be able to play, but that's like,
I doubt it.
Very pain dependent. Like, how is he actually feeling?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I have no idea.
I mean, Kadarius Toney is set to play week one. You have, what, Sky Moore, Jerick McKinnon, Noah Gray.
MVS.
Yeah, I mean,
the reality, though, is you can ask that question. Like, Kelce has missed time occasionally over the last several years, and it just never seems to matter for the Chiefs.
No, not really. They'll find some random practice squad tight end and be like, oh, he's actually the new Kelce. Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah.
Mahomes is going to throw to like 11 different receivers, still get 300 yards, 3 touchdowns.
And the reality is, Kelce, while dominant, is never as hyper-targeted as he is in the playoffs
compared
to the regular season. Like, and it comes to the playoffs, that's when it goes all through him.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. He should be back by week 2 or week 3, I would think. Nothing coming out is too concerning.
Yeah.
So,
next, we got some news on the referendum results. Last time we were talking about what some of the options were. A lot of them passed. I don't remember exactly what they were, but
yeah, if you are a part of the league, we went through a presentation at the league draft of what those changes were. The primary ones being that defensive turnovers are now worth 4 points for the defense. So fumbles recovered and interceptions are worth 4 points. And then the other one being, of course, the change from half-point PPR to full-point PPR. Hopefully you were aware of that while we were drafting. Otherwise, things might not be great this year for you. And then last but not least is FAB. The multi-year campaign has paid off for those invested, and we have already implemented a free agent acquisition budget. So you get $100 throughout the year.
It's already a hot pickup that I mentioned in the group chat. Jason, $16 on the bill.
I'm going to be honest with you. I know you're flaming him for that. I don't think it's an overvalue of FAB. Because I don't know. Here's my first question is, could you guys see if other people bid on that player?
The Bills defense?
Yes. See, so that's where, that is the one gripe that I have with NFL fantasy right now. With FAB is like, on other platforms, with FAB, you can see all the other bids. So you can know what other people put in. And so what people don't know, and only I know, as well as Jason, because I told him, is that I actually had a $12 bid in for the Buffalo Bills defense, because I actually drafted the 19th defense, and Jason drafted the 20th defense. So if you could tell me at a position, you could go from the 19th or 20th ranked player to what is currently ranked like 3rd to 7th, depending on the site, for $16 in FAB, I think that's a pretty good value. He told me that at midnight he had it $11, and I'd already gone to sleep. And then he changed it to 16. And, like, I wasn't going to spend more than 12 because I think the Broncos defense isn't terrible. But if you were to tell me that, like, a top 7 position, especially with the fact that Josh and I were talking, we have no idea how defenses are going to impact scoring this year because of the inflation of turnovers.
I may have made an oopsie and proposed a bad rule. Oopsies.
So
I think any other position, yes. But defenses and kickers, I don't know how much it's going to matter.
He had the Buccaneers defense. And it's like, you look at, like, on a given year, like, there might be, like, 40 points in difference between those two.
I guess.
Agreed? This year with it, I think it could be up to 60. That's, like, 4 to 5 points a week. It could matter.
I guess.
So
I guess the bigger issue, too, is Christian dropping the Bills defense.
I think that's the bigger problem.
Yeah, and keeping the Chargers. I mean, you I think in most situations you drop the Chargers if you're going to drop one of them.
I think so, yeah. But again, that probably goes down to where, I mean, when you auto-draft, I don't know why it gives you two defenses. It does. He shouldn't have two defenses, so he's right to drop one of them. It's just like, you look at the roster percentage for the Buccaneers defense, and it's like 1.8%. Yeah. So, I really don't hate him putting that money down.
That's
to jump
fair.
Up.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah. If you had a top 10 defense, you should not be bidding on the Bills defense. I would agree with that.
Okay.
I think that wraps up the news section. We already kind of touched on the first ever draft combine where Tom won.
Yeah. And he won with a sprained ACL. And he won the kicking competition. He won the Wonderlic test. And he took second in a drawing competition. And he also coached the winning team for football. So
no, he was quarterback. I was coach.
Oh, he was quarterback. That's right. Yeah, and drafted is the winning team. So, yep. Yep.
All right.
Now,
we have a quick division review. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time because, you know, if we start talking too long, we're going to push the boundaries and it's going to be a four-hour podcast.
Yeah, no, certainly.
So, I thought, let's just get everyone's quick takes on the teams, quick takes on the division, see what everything's looking like now that the draft's finally over. In Division 1, which, as a reminder, is Jackson, myself, Noodle, Tom, Hunter, and Trevor. Not a bad division after the draft, after all is said and done. Jackson spent his first three picks on Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, and
Keenan Allen.
I should have specified that. I wasn't.
Was Keenan the third round? I don't remember.
He was.
Yeah, he was.
Great
he was.
Value.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I, at the 14 spot, got Saquon Barkley, then Jalen Waddle, and Nuke. Tom got McCaffrey, Etienne, and Cooper. Amari Cooper, not Cup. Hunter got Joe Mixon, which we'll get into later. A little forewarning. Joe Burrow and Christian Kirk. And then Trevor got Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, and Kenneth Walker.
So first thing that jumps out to me, Hunter's the only one with a top 10 quarterback in this division.
Yes.
Which will be interesting to see how that plays out. And then no tight ends in the top three, which I guess isn't as surprising. But the quarterbacks went off the board hot and heavy this year.
They did.
And the fact that only one of them fell in this one is interesting.
Yeah, we had the first quarterback taken in the first round.
Since 2015.
Yes.
And there's a slight asterisk, but the fact nevertheless is that Jacob took him at 20 when he could have taken him at 21, so.
Gotta break the rules sometimes.
Yeah.
Overall, I feel like Jackson and myself will both kind of hype ourselves up. So Eric, as the neutral arbiter here, what do you think about this division?
Yeah, it's a solid one. It's fun when you have like a couple top tier wide receivers here. You got Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase in the same division. That's pretty cool.
It goes to say that three of the top four picks in this year's draft were from teams in this division, which is how you get a lot of that star talent with Tom with McCaffrey as well.
Yeah. There's, a lot of good wide receiver talent here. I haven't looked at everyone's team, but I don't know. I like Jackson's team the most, and I do know his team the best just because I think his team is very solid. I think it's a top five team in the league. I mean, you have Ja'Marr Chase going to get you points. Harris is a little fringe. He can be a bottom tier RB1, but Keenan Allen in the third round is pretty nutty, in my opinion. First year PPR, it's going to be great. So I like Jackson's team. But Noodle, I think you're probably going to be second in this division. Honestly, the way that this has it laid out, Jackson, Noodle, Tom, Hunter, Trevor, that's probably the order I like the teams in. Maybe you switch Hunter and Trevor.
I think Tom's season will hinge mainly on if Etienne can keep the starting job in Jacksonville. And if he has a breakout campaign and kind of silences the fantasy murmurs of Tank Bigsby, I think Tom could easily contest for the division. I think he has a complete team as well. I will say I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about making sure you don't draft for third place and how in the later half of the draft you need to make sure you're going for high upside picks. And that really struck home with me because I've taken third place in this league 3 times. I'm 0-4 in semifinals. I've won my division the last 2 years, but have no playoff games to show in the last 4 to 5 years. Playoff game wins. And I really just realized that, like, you look at my team, and I think, wow, this is a great team. And I think other people look at it, and you just realize it's, like, it's a lot of names that have been, like, fantasy stalwarts for the last 5 years. And, of course, it looks great. Because, like, 3 years ago, you never would have been able to get Chris Godwin, Keenan Allen, and Ja'Marr Chase on the same team. It just wouldn't, well, maybe not, maybe with Ja'Marr Chase, but it just would not have been possible. And so we'll see whether Father Time comes calling this year or not. But if they can stay healthy, I think that's the key.
I was going to say, your team is, like, projected the most. I think if you were to go on projections throughout this whole season, you'd win every game.
Yeah. Except against Josh.
Yeah, maybe.
No, literally, it's always Josh.
But at the same time, I was like, his team is also a little boring. You know, it's like Keenan Allen's been there for how long? Like, Najee Harris is good. Like, if you look at him last year, he was, like, an okay running back. He'll get you points, but, like, his ceiling is just not where it is.
Exact same thing happened last year. Like, I had Brandon Cooks on my team.
Yeah.
I had just the most boring players were, like, I'm sitting there at 10-2. No one wants to trade because everyone's like, no, I really don't like any of the players on your team. And yet, like, they're winning games. They're scoring points. It's just, I don't know. It's just, who's the hot new commodity? It's not the guys I draft.
I actually think, and this might be a bit of a crazy take, I think a wild card team in this division could be Trevor. Just because you got Justin Jefferson.
You can win any game with him. Yeah.
And Kenneth Walker. If Kenneth Walker can keep off Zach Charbonnet.
Kenneth Walker was probably the best third round pick that Trevor has ever made.
Yeah. Which is
no, I'm fair. Yeah. I mean, the first two rounds you just basically can go strictly off rankings.
Yeah.
And
then
like the third round is where you can start to hit landmines if you're more inexperienced. And I think Trevor hit with that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep.
All right. I think that is quick enough.
I think so too.
Yeah. Alright, let's go on to Division 2. Division 2. It's going to be an interesting division. We got what Eric will call fantasy royalty up the wazoo in this division.
Yep.
Adithya
at the top.
Yeah, Adithya taking Nick Chubb, Kelvin Ridley, and TJ Hockenson. Then we have Jacob, hot off of what, a semifinals and a finals.
Yep.
Taking Mahomes first, as we mentioned, Aaron Jones, and Kittle.
Yikes.
Then we got Mark. Mark going back to Devontae. I know he didn't pick him last year because he was on auto draft, but, you know.
Oh, that's right. JT fell to the second. So, yeah.
Then Mark took JT and Drake London. I don't know why I put his full name. Then Michael took Derrick Henry. He got Derrick Henry late, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is always surprising because dude is a literal monster. Mike Andrews. And Mike Williams, a.k.a. Mike Will, made it. And then finally we got Rafi, and Rafi took Josh Jacobs, who just got a contract, right?
Yeah, Josh Jacobs at 19 is
crazy.
Hideous.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Absolutely
the
crazy.
The issue was we drafted before he signed.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, so there's risk there. But whereas JT went the opposite direction, Jacobs is locked and loaded to go.
Exactly. Yeah. And in addition to Jacobs, Rafi also has Josh Allen and J.K. Dobbins. So, in this division, I think it's just
chaos.
Really strong
this
running
is
backs.
Very chaotic.
You got a lot of strong running backs.
But, like, that's kind of it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you also great tight ends.
Yes.
Hockenson,
Mark Andrews, two of the top three. And
there, there were four wide receivers taken with their first 15 picks.
Yeah.
That is and Mark took two of them, which is very on brand for Mark, but also crazy for the other teams. I mean, I think it'll be really interesting to see the dynamic of Division 1 versus Division 2 this season.
Yeah.
It'll be a very interesting test case.
Overall, I don't know who to be backing in this division, if I'm being completely honest. I really like Rafi's first three picks, but I haven't dug too deep into the rest of his team. If I'm being honest.
Jonathan Taylor wasn't on the pup list. I'd take Mark.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah.
But I honestly lean towards Adithya. That's just... The biggest question mark is Calvin Ridley. But, I don't know, that's a solid, like, triplets right there. Running back, wide receiver, tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of positional matchups, like, these teams will certainly compete with Division One. Because just, like, you think of, like, you look at tight end, like, Jacob is going to win almost any tight end battle with the other teams. Michael will win the tight end position. Rafi will win the quarterback position. Jacob will win the quarterback position. And Adithya is a much similar build to the Division One teams.
That's fair. You keep note, I don't know if Kittle is going to play week one.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also maybe Andrews doesn't play week one. There's some injury history there.
If the top three tight ends don't play week one, it's going to tank the tight end stock, I feel like, next year.
And it's already not
great.
Maybe this is the push we need to get tight end premium.
I mean, it's passed, I'm pretty sure. It's just I can't actually do it.
Did it pass?
No, it didn't pass. But, like, even if it did, like, I can't do NFL fantasy. But, yeah.
Any final thoughts? I think that...
You can't bet against Rafi.
Yeah, that's fair.
Actually, you can in the regular season very easily, but I will not.
I always hate seeing quarterbacks so early, but...
Josh, you had done the analysis, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, that every team that had taken the first quarterback in the draft, aside from Andrew Luck, had made the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
In this league, that's not hard to do anymore.
But that was, like, top
10. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just throwing in a few shots.
Hey, Eric, if you want to actually make the playoffs this year, you could have got a quarterback first.
I will make the playoffs this year. We'll get into it on the next slide.
Yeah, so next we have Division 3. This is Jason's division that is looking pretty tough. I don't think it was going to be as tough when he drafted it, but...
I will never have to play any of these teams till the championship, so I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, this division drafted really good, I thought. So first, in Division 3, we have Eric, who took Diggs, then Devontae Smith, and then Damian Pierce, followed by... prior division winner Jason, who took the Sun God, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, and Christian Watson. Lacking a little bit of loyalty with the Watson pick, but...
You play to win the game.
C'est la vie. Next, we have Sam, who, with his 7th pick, took Kelsey, which is interesting. Then he got Breece Hall in the 2nd, which, if Breece Hall plays and gets a good workload, that can be a great pick, and Terry McLaurin in the 3rd.
Have you guys heard that McLaurin might miss, like, half the season?
I think he's actually right now leaning towards playing week one. He practiced today, and he said he felt well.
Okay. How was the dichotomy, like, half the season or week one?
Yeah, I don't understand. Turf toe, which I think is, like, kind of tough.
Can he play through it type of thing? All right.
So I think that's something that's probably going to bother him. For a decent amount of time, but he can play through it.
Jackson, okay. Have you ever heard of steroids?
I mean, yes. But I was in a draft this evening, and people were like, oh, McLaurin's going to be out for half the year. And that was the first I had heard of this.
It's looking like he's trending towards playing week one.
All right. I was going to say Jahan Dotson, stock up, but.
Yeah. Next, we have in this division Midney, aka Sid. Who took Eckler with the 104?
105.
Then you got running back Jahmyr Gibbs, who boldly said today he's getting 1,000 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards this year.
I did see that, yeah.
So we'll see if that pans out for Sid. And finally, he got Trevor Lawrence. And then last but not least, we have Christian, who took Cooper Kupp, which is unfortunate. And then you got Ramondre Stevenson and Justin Fields. I like Stevenson. I think I'm obligated to say I don't like Fields.
Christian could be an extremely dangerous player in the playoffs.
Yes,
I agree. Eric's point, like, it's going to be hard for him to miss, especially if Sam deals with injury troubles. But, I mean, the boom-bust potential of Kupp, Stevenson, Fields is, like, they could combine for 10 points if they're injured in, like, a week, but also 60.
Yeah, I mean, if Christian can come out of, like, week 5, like, going into week 5, like, 2-2, and then Kupp comes back, then, yeah, we're talking pretty good potential here. But if that hamstring injury for Kupp is going to be a problem, I don't know. That's a lot of points you're missing out on. And he's, I mean, Cooper Kupp's, I think 30 years old.
Yeah.
He had a hamstring injury and then re-aggravated that same hamstring injury in like a month. It's not like a guarantee. I thought I saw some, like, I was listening to some other podcasts. Like, Cup drops, like, to like a fourth, fifth rounder nowadays after that news. But, yeah, if Christian can come back from that Cup injury, it's a pretty decent team.
Yeah. I honestly kind of hate to say this, and I think the rest of Jason's team isn't as good as his first three picks. Jason's first three picks were really good.
Yeah, I mean,
they were really
good. He just kept going with what was the value on the board, because this is a PPR league now, which meant wide receivers should have been valued higher.
Yep.
But I think it's very interesting, because in a normal PPR league, wide receivers should have leapfrogged running backs.
Yes.
But because we are also a 20-team league, there's still a reality that if you don't get a running back early, you just don't get a running back.
Yep.
Like, if you don't take a running, if you did not take two running backs in the first five rounds, good luck, goodbye. You don't have an RB2, no matter what.
Unless your name is Mark.
Unless your name is Mark and you work the waiver wire. Now he has what? Now he's like Miles Gaskin, who's like the Vikings number two. Just what he does on the waiver wire is another thing. But, and this is with Fab, so okay, the whole argument that this would stop Mark has not worked out so far. But it's just wide receiver value is there, and I don't know how you can top this arsenal of wide receivers that Jason has.
Yeah.
One quick thing to note, Christian Watson did not practice today.
Yes.
Surprise hamstring injury designation.
Okay.
Don't think that's going to be too big, but something worth noting.
Yeah.
And speaking of PPR and getting a lot of passes, Sydney getting Eckler at the 105 is insane. I looked up Eckler's stats last year. He had 107 catches.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Like, Williams did not play that many games, so Eckler by default. But
and
the
Allen
argument,
played half. Yeah, the argument is regression, right?
Well, it's also like Allen and Williams are probably going to get injured again.
Oh, okay, let's say he regresses. He catches 70. You know how many passes Saquon Barkley, who we all think is a like pretty good receiving back, caught last year? 50.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if this was 5 years ago, it would have been McCaffrey, Eckler, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But because of this new changing landscape of fantasy football, where wide receivers are more consistent and less injury prone, so it seems, that seems to be the move that people have made. I mean, you look at, like, for all those years, it was like Barkley, McCaffrey both get injured. Barkley, so-and-so, they both got injured. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Plus, it was Sydney's team having Gibbs. I mean, that's two good receiving backs. I mean, Gibbs is primarily going to be a receiving back, I think, to start off, because they have David Montgomery right now. But, I mean, you're PPR league, and you're going two running backs. Those are probably the way to do it, is get those receiving backs.
Who do you guys think? So Jason went three wide receivers, then we would have to fill out quarterback and running back later on. Sydney went two running backs and a quarterback, and then would have to fill out wide receivers later on. Between those two teams, it'll be interesting to see which one comes ahead. Who do you think it will be, though, Josh?
I feel like I'm a bit biased.
Yeah.
Mainly because I am always team running back. I think last year I took,
that's fair, you took
four running
backs
in the first five rounds.
Yeah. Yes. So, but in a PPR landscape, do you think that changes?
I mean,
Amon Ra and Garrett Wilson could each have 10 receptions a game.
They could.
Yeah.
I've been leaning more and more towards the wide receivers are more consistent.
Yeah.
And they're going to get bigger boom weeks. Mm-hmm. They're also going to have lower floors.
Yeah.
Right? A good receiving back is going to get you a higher floor.
That
hasn't really worked for me in the past. It gets me to the playoffs, not a whole lot further.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric?
I know who Jason's quarterback is. It's Anthony Richardson.
But is that really any different than, like, Sydney having Trevor Lawrence and then having, like, I don't know who his wide receivers are, but, like, a boom-bust wide receiver? Like, is the team just built around for Jason where the wide receivers, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah,
the wide receivers are the consistent ones, and then you're allowed to tinker in other positions.
I guess. Hey, it's just,
yeah, it's putting a lot of weight on those three players to carry the core of the team.
If you're looking at just the first three picks,
Yeah.
I think Jason probably does well. I also, I switched on my strategy. I used to be a true take a RB in the first two rounds. this year I straight away changed to PPR. I took two wide receivers. I think Jace and I have similar teams, I would say. I like these three wide receivers. I mean, any Christian Watson and Garrett Wilson could be, like, top five wide receivers at the end of the year. We don't really, like, Garrett Wilson, rookie of the year, gets Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers does, like, 75% of an MVP season. Garrett Wilson's going to have, like, what, 120 receptions? He's going to have a crazy amount.
Was Alexander Mattison a fourth-round pick?
I believe so.
Was he? To Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been.
That's crazy.
That is pretty wild. I mean, it's not the greatest RB1, but...
Something. I mean, it's for with that wide receiver
for that,
court,
yeah.
And then his running back two is Antonio Gibson, which if you hear the reports out of Washington, he could be the RB1 by week two or three. So
yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Robinson is the one who's been starting.
Yeah. Correct. But in a PPR league, there's more value to be had.
Yeah, I mean, if like for me, I know for my team, like Damian Pierce is my RB1. I took him in the third round. I have a bunch of other running backs. Like, I feel like that's the way to do it if you're doing, like, zero RB. You just got to take a bunch of flyers and hope some of them pan out.
Yep.
If Gibson takes that RB1 role, then, yeah, that's Jason's team. It's just
but
insane.
You can say that about everyone who has an
RB2.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts? I think this is mainly directed at me and Jackson because Eric is probably going to say himself.
I like my team. I will say, Sam taking Breece Hall in the second, I feel like that was a homer pick. Like a
Which,
huge.
I went back and looked. Sam has never really taken.
Yeah.
He's just never taken Jets players, and I really think it's probably because of the Jets hype this year.
Yeah.
That
he
if you're going
too.
To take a Jets player, this is the year to do it because I mean he's really avoided the whole homer pick of the team's bad, but this will be their year. Like this, if there is going to be a year for the Jets, it'll be this year.
Yeah.
So why not ride it if you can?
I would do it too.
But it's better than Zach Wilson, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
Yeah. All right. Last division, last but not least, Division 4, home of the reigning champion RJ. And that's where we're going to start. RJ drafted Tony Pollard, who's looking pretty good, especially with Zeke gone. Chris Olive Garden, Olave, and Jerry Jeudy. Adam, next up in the division, took Tyreek Hill, Lamar Jackson, and Cam Akers. Blake, perennial threat, took A.J. Brown with his first pick, then T. Higgins, and finally Javonte Williams, Eric's man.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, up next, took Bijan, Jalen Hurts, and D.J. Moore. And finally, rounding it out, we got Linnea, who took CeeDee Lamb first, then Debo, then Justin Herbert.
Initial reactions, Eric?
Just straight up looking at it, I like RJ's couple picks. Jerry Jeudy does have a bit of an injury right now, which kind of makes it tough to take him. Other than that, Blake, I really like that A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, and then going into Javonte, kind of a high ceiling, low floor running back. Everyone else, it took quarterbacks fairly early here. There's a lot of quarterback talent
here.
There
is some stacked quarterback talent here.
Like, if Travis didn't take DJ Moore with the third pick, I would love that. Linnea's team's good, too. There's just, like, certain players I have, like, a negative aptitude to. Lamar Jackson's one of them. DJ Moore is one of them. And Debo Samuel's one of them. So I kind of, like, dislike those three. And they're each on Adam, Travis, and Linnea's team.
What do you not like about Lamar this season?
They have a new offensive coordinator who's going to be more pass focused. Lamar makes his bread and butter in fantasy running the ball, personally. And if they're going to pass the ball more, who is he going to pass to, is my question.
Zay Flowers. Odell Beckham.
It's going to be, like, his wide receivers are not exciting. You have Odell Beckham, who hasn't played in, what, a year and a half? He hasn't played since that L.A. Rams Super Bowl and what she got injured from.
But he was cooking.
He was good, but again, it's a year and a half removed. Yeah. He's getting older. You have Rashad Bateman, who cannot stay on the field. I drafted him last year.
Who did he have as his wide receivers, though, during his MVP season?
Hollywood.
Yeah, he did have Marquise
okay,
Brown.
Okay, he had Hollywood.
That's
something.
Mark Andrews.
He still had Andrews, yeah.
Okay.
And but there was one more Sammy Watkins?
I don't think so at that point. Well, if he was, he was irrelevant.
But regardless, Lamar ran the ball a lot. And
yeah.
He's had injuries the past 2 years now, I think, where he hasn't been able to complete a season. And now he's got, a pass-happy offensive coordinator. Lamar was like, I want to throw for 5,000 yards. It's like, well, someone has to catch those 5,000 yards, too.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
That's my little rant on Lamar Jackson.
He can catch it.
He could. He could try.
Well, if he throws for 5,000 yards, Adam will be a happy
yeah,
fantasy
for sure.
owner. But reasonable doubt for that to happen. Understood. Yep.
I agree.
So.
My initial takes, RJ and I were drafting right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
All of RJ's players were players that I was also looking at.
Fair enough.
He doesn't take Olave. I take Olave in the second round.
Yeah.
I was between, in the third round, Nuk and Judy.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
I think people forget, too. Olave was as close as you can get to winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Garrett Wilson just kind of slightly edged him out. Those two were neck and neck.
Yeah, but Michael Thomas is returning this year.
Yeah.
That's going to take away target share for him in New Orleans.
And Olave did that with, who was his quarterback? Jameis Winston for half the year?
It was Andy Dalton.
It was Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Both of them got QB upgrades. But
yes.
I feel like Garrett Wilson, also a little Hard Knocks push too. I'm sure a little bump there. But Olave got a better quarterback. Same with Garrett Wilson. But I feel
it's hard to see, right, for them to have been so close last season. For now, Wilson to be going at 16 and Olave to be going in the second,
right,
at 25. It really is there that gap. Yeah. Yep.
Another team I really like. I really like Linnea's team. I'm a big fan of CD this year. So her getting CD where she did, I think, is really good value. I think Debo's not going to be too bad this year either. They're probably going to use him a whole lot less.
CD at 3, I'm not sure I would say is really good
value. I thought
value.
That she got away later.
No.
Oh.
So,
well, I still like CD.
I respect Linnea sticking to her guns and going, this is the player that I want. That's the player I'm going to take. I just think that there are other ways to optimize that. If you know that's the player that you want, taking a later draft spot
and
banking. Because, frankly, I think Debo then at, 37 or 38th overall was a really great pick. And I don't mind Herbert in the third round at all. So
CD, the Dallas Cowboys also got Brandon Cooks.
Yep.
Yeah, I think CD Lamb could easily be a top five wide receiver. I don't think it's a bad pick.
Yeah.
It's just at that spot,
at three,
I think it's hard to. I think you'd be an outlier in the fantasy community to take CeeDee Lamb over Ja'Marr Chase. But you look at compared to Cooper Kupp, this pick has worked out so far.
Right.
So,
But if it works,
right? who are we to judge or comment? Well, that's actually what we're here to do.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point.
Another team that I really like is Blake's. I think just A.J. Brown, T. Higgins is going to be a strong wide receiver core. Javonte, I'm unsure about, but I'm unsure about that entire Broncos offense. I'm sure it's going to be better than last year because it kind of has to be.
Javonte, high ceiling. If he turns out, great value for Blake. But, you're also dealing with, he's coming off a torn
ACL.
A torn entire knee, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Travis's team aside from DJ Moore. They're not going to pass the ball. I think that.
But again, though, we talked about why is Michael Pittman going to be good this year? It's because when you have a mobile quarterback and you run a lot of RPO stuff, you hyper target the wide receiver one. And I think, being at the Bears game, the Bears' offensive line is garbage. All they're going to do is run screens to Khalil Herbert and DJ Moore. And I think they're. If there is ever going to be value in a Bears wide receiver in the next 5 years, it has to be DJ Moore this year, because if it isn't, then Justin Fields is probably not in a job, and DJ Moore is probably playing with another rookie quarterback next year.
Caleb Williams.
So I'm not saying that he's going to work out, but I'm saying that for the Bears experiment with for Justin Fields to have a career in the next 3 years, it has to work out with DJ Moore this year.
Yeah,
they went out and traded everything to move away from a quarterback and then get DJ Moore for him.
I feel like we've seen DJ Moore. We know that he is, like,
we know that he'll have a 1,000-yard season with, like, 4 to 6 touchdowns.
He'll be wide receiver 20. Like,
that's which in the third round, I mean.
I mean, I guess, yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah.
So. I'm also biased because I think the Bears are going to suck this year.
But again, like,
I'll announce that.
If the team sucks, they have to throw more. Like, I'm not sure.
I mean, look at
Well, the Broncos also sucked and they didn't throw
okay,
that
the
much.
Panthers were bad last year. DJ Moore benefited from them being unable to run the ball. Unable to run the ball, I would say.
I guess.
I think that they had a great running back room after Christian McCaffrey left. I really enjoyed the Chuba Hubbard-Raheem Blackshear combo.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bears were the worst team in the NFL last year. And they didn't, like, they still weren't,
Yeah, they also didn't have wide receiver. Like, I don't know. I guess you look at who was throwing the ball to DJ Moore before. Will Greer's, PJ Walker.
Sam Darnold.
PJ Walker might be a better thrower than Justin Fields.
Jake DeLome. No, just like 15 years ago. But
I think Jake DeLome is actually on the coaching staff now.
I think he is as well. But my point is that I think Justin Fields might actually be an upgraded passing as a passer.
We'll see.
For him.
We'll see. That one where DJ Moore, 80-yard touchdown, -4 air yards.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay, but it's PPR. That's still worth 0.6 points if it gets blown up.
Yeah.
Which is another
thing. That gives me a great new idea.
What?
Point per air yard.
So that's not an uncommon thought. Because people think, like, I've seen this discussion where it's like, passing should be where the player gets the reception and not after the catch.
I like including
and then
yak.
So then does, like, the wide receiver only get the yak and then the quarterback only gets where the ball is caught?
Wide receiver gets both.
Okay.
But passing yards would only be for the yards the quarterback throws it to the receiver.
Okay.
Oh no,
I don't think it's great.
I'm saying we add a new layer to this. So we have PPR.
Okay.
But then if it's a backwards pass, like let's say it's -4 air yards, then you lose -0.4. So then you're starting with 0.6. You can go up from there.
Okay.
I had the thought a past episode it should be PPR only if the play goes.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
You can't do it.
Yeah. Because that was my biggest gripe with running backs in PPR.
Yeah.
That, like, a running back catches, like, a dump off for 1 yard. And it's like, wow, that was worth 11 yards receiving for a wide receiver. It's Anyways, who's your early season favorite to make it to the Super Bowl from each division? Or each conference, I suppose.
Well, me, obviously.
Okay, you. Against, who are you facing?
Against, is it 1-3 or 1-4?
It's 1-2 are together.
Yeah.
And
oh,
1-3-4. Yeah,
oh.
This is now set up where the actual, if you were to look at the standings.
Oh, me and Eric, let's make it interesting.
All right.
I'm going to say you and me.
All right.
That's my take.
Okay. I'm not winning a playoff game, so we're going to go Rafi and Jason.
Not a bad take.
So
I look at Jason's quarterback. We'll get into Jason.
We will.
I think, yeah, we'll get into it.
Into, and maybe now that we're a little bit more tech savvy, can we do the Law and Order theme right here? Bump, bump, bump. Kangaroo Court. Court is now in session, baby.
No idea if that picked up or not, but
it was a gavel.
Yes.
It looks like it did.
It looks like, yeah, on Audacity.
So, this was a thought that I had where instead of, like, running down everyone's teams, we can just talk about some surprises that we had in the draft. We'll do surprises in every two rounds, so, like, round 1 and 2, round 3 and 4, and we'll be the jury. We'll decide, is that taco behavior, or are they not guilty of taco behavior? And, like, all American courts, or at least all American courts that matter, not you, Louisiana. I don't know why you're doing it this way. I mean, I do, but it's got to be unanimous.
Okay.
If it's not unanimous, mistrial, we'll deal with it in the next 5 years.
Okay.
Like all American court systems.
Yeah, it'll get backlogged. Perfect.
We'll never solve it.
We'll do it next off season in all of our podcast episodes.
Yes. Well, recurring theme. But first, in rounds 1 and 2, thing I found interesting was Joe Mixon 11th overall.
Do you know what his ADP is?
His ADP is probably around, like, 19.
Okay. Okay.
I just found this interesting one because it came. We had the draft literally like a day after the second allegations came out.
Mm-hmm. He was in court, right? Like, he missed 2 days from being in a courtroom.
Yes. Yeah, for menacing with a gun. Yes. If you got the slides open, he's doing a very conspicuous hand movement right there.
In Jersey. Yeah.
But
my understanding, at least, is that those legal charges will continue during the season, but the NFL probably won't do anything about it until next
year. Yeah, no, he's probably not going to be suspended for it.
Okay.
It's going to be a recurring problem for him.
Yeah.
Anytime he has a bad game... Damn, bro, when the Cincy police coming for you?
Yeah, he'll certainly will have white noise in the background going on.
But in addition to that, there were a lot of good running backs that were still on the board. Namely, the one that I was able to pick up, which was Saquon.
Yeah, I feel like this Joe Mixon could have been taken 11th overall if there was no other background noise going on with him or other issues outstanding. I think this would be a much less questionable pick. I think you could get him like at a discount. I think Hunter just said, no, I want to pay full price. This is my guy. I can't speak to the motivations for that, but...
Yeah. It's like, out of all the teams that are doing this weird like committee, you don't have that issue with Joe Mixon.
Correct.
He's going to be the starter. There's no one near him. But at the same time, getting a little bit older, I think... There was a crazy stat where it was like 1/6 or was it 1/5 of all his fantasy points came from 1 week last year.
Last year, where he had that huge week. 50-point game.
If
or
you
something.
Take away that week, he's a very uninspired. Like, you can't really take away weeks. Like, if he played that week, he won you that week. That's worth something. Mm-hmm. But without that 1 week, he's pretty uninspiring. He's not like the greatest pass catcher out there either, and they're a pretty pass happy offense.
Yeah, they were replacing him last year and passing down to Samaje Perine.
Yeah, and he's gone.
Perine's gone, so
we'll see. But Chase Brown is in.
Sure.
Another thing that I wanted to point out is this was actually Joe Mixon's least efficient year of his entire career. His yards per carry, and keep in mind, the average yards per carry is probably sitting around like right around 4.1-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that there's less defenders in the box, it used to be sitting closer to like 3.7, 3.8. His yards per carry last year, 3.8.
Okay. Yeah.
He was not very efficient with the ball, and it seemed that he was just getting points because the offense was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What speaks to me is that the team let Samaje Perine walk, who was a known commodity, knew the system, was a solid backup, without any real plan to replace him. And then spent, like, what, a day two or day three pick on a running back, and where, like, they've just had three mid to not so great tier backups that are just kind of, like, scrumming it out for the RB2 spot for the third down back. And so I think the team seems to have confidence in him. I mean, there was one point in the season where he may not have even been returning to the team, but they seem to have fully committed to him, at least for the next 2 years.
Mixon took a pay cut, too.
Yeah.
thing. And, yeah, they... Not to get off track of fantasy football, but I think, like, the Bengals in general are just, like, we have a good team. Why, like, screw everything up right now?
Right.
Because they're, I mean, realistically, they're one bad pass interference call from being into the Super Bowl.
And there are a few rough calls away from winning the Super Bowl 2 years
ago. That's very
well, there are also a few rough calls away from getting blown out in that Super Bowl.
That is true.
T. Higgins threw that man to the ground.
Higgins had a right to throw him to the ground.
I remember.
Prior to the ball. I mean, if the Bengals don't score there, the Rams have, what, like a 14-3 lead and the ball? So, I mean, that dramatically turned the game. So,
all right. Before this gets too long, I got to ask, is this taco behavior?
I vote no.
Yeah, I'd vote no.
I vote no, too.
All right.
It's decided not taco behavior, Hunter. Next round, round 3 and 4, we had what I think is the most surprising pick of the draft. With the 61st overall pick, Jacob decided to pick the 49ers defense, straying away from his history of Dolphins defense.
I mean, his team name is the Dolphins defense. And he didn't even get them later on in the draft.
No, he just took, he stuck with the 49ers defense. He said, I don't want to play with you anymore.
It's a good Toy Story meme.
It is.
But, I mean, the 49ers defense could be a perfectly fine defense. Do I think Jacob had other positional needs to address in the fourth round? Yeah, probably, considering you start six players. But, you know, with the way that defenses are going to have inflated points this year, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't know. I don't know what the impact of this scoring change is going to have. I don't think any of us did when we voted for it. And maybe Jacob just made the biggest galaxy-brained play, and he's going to end up in the Super Bowl because of it. Because I guess, like, defenses, they're pretty consistent, right? Like, their floor is better than most players.
That 49ers defense won me 2 weeks last year.
The thing, like, the defense is good, but, like, there's not a huge difference between the, like, top and second defenses.
No.
You know, like, the first and, like, 16th, I'll give it you there, but, like, the
yeah,
first and second,
one and five.
Like, I don't know when the second defense went.
It was
a
couple rounds
later. It's going to be a couple rounds later where, yeah, it could be where taking a defense early is the new norm, but this relative to when the next couple of defense taken is just egregious, in my opinion.
My initial thoughts is, I don't know.
Yeah.
I made an oopsie with a bad rule proposal. We'll find out if it works. If for anyone that's listening that isn't in this league, that doesn't deal with the 4-point turnovers, give it a try. See how it works. We're guinea pigging it for you. Maybe you can find something cool about it.
Yeah.
But as it stands now, I really don't know how this is going to work, and I really don't know if that's a bad pick or not. Maybe it's a great one.
I still think it's a bad pick. I would claim this taco behavior.
I would as well.
I think I would also call it taco behavior, but who
primarily
knows?
Because he could have done the same pick 40 picks
yes.
later.
Yeah.
And easily. If he does it at 101 in the fifth, sixth round, because he was on the edge, he was the 20th pick, I think there's a case to be made that is stronger than in round four.
Yeah.
So.
Taco behavior. Next round. Round five and six. Deshaun Watson, who notably was banned in our league last year.
Correct.
Now he's back.
He
got picked at 96 overall. Thoughts? Not good person, but.
Yeah, I mean, aside. It's.
I have nothing good to say about this man, but I have many good things to say about Michael.
Yeah. It's.
This isn't an indictment on Michael, and this isn't even really an indictment on football, because I think actually, like, if we just ignore the person, which is impossible to do, but if we ignore the person, just look at football, I don't think that's a bad pick.
At the end of the day, like, fantasy football is just purely numbers. It's why that. Like, Mark can watch no football and still win a championship because you can read articles, and at the end of the day, you can take the name off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could simulate a Madden season and just say, this is your fantasy football stats, because all they are strings of data. And Deshaun Watson will have a string of data that will make a score, and Michael's team will probably not be hurt by it compared to some of the other quarterbacks that could have been drafted at this time.
Yeah.
Hey, if you truly believe, like, Watson will go back to, like, 2018, 2019 play, which could happen, then, yeah, this is a fine pick. He was always, like, a top five quarterback when he was playing.
Yeah.
Issue is, like, he didn't look inspiring last year, and his training camp hasn't been great. But it's training camp. And,
you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't see how, after what he's done, and then after clearly getting caught, and then going through everything that he did, like, his focus was not, at least it shouldn't have been on football during that time period.
Yeah.
And so, can you come back as an athlete from that? I don't know.
Michael Vick did.
Michael Vick did, but was he was not the Michael Vick that he was 3 or 4 years earlier. Like, he was a mid-tier quarterback, still perfectly serviceable for an NFL team, but he was not the top three player that he was.
That first year that Michael Vick was starting for the Eagles, like, not the year that he came in halfway through the year, but the year after, wasn't he in MVP conversation?
No, Nick Foles was.
Oh.
It was because Nick Foles had, like, a 27-1 ratio, and then it was when he got injured that I believe Vick came in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's just tough to separate the man from the player.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I don't
think Michael did anything wrong with taking him here.
No.
But
But also like to point out that last year in the playoff push, we had a rule you couldn't roster him. Michael picked him up.
Unknowingly,
I mean, and was quickly chastised.
Again, this is back to the fact where they're just strings of numbers.
Yeah.
I guarantee you Michael didn't know that Deshaun Watson was the player that we
But he finally got his guy.
That's true, yeah. That was like the Browns being like, here's what we'll do with your contract. We'll pay you all of the money as a bonus, so it doesn't matter. Michael had some negotiation back then.
Michael knew.
Michael knew. All right.
Do we want to take a decision on this one? I don't think there's a whole lot more to talk about it.
Say no to taco
behavior. No taco behavior.
Yeah, I say no taco behavior, but I don't like him as a person. Not Michael, Deshaun.
Yes.
All right, next rounds 7-8. This one might get a little feisty in this household, but Jason's not here, so who cares? Anthony Richardson, taken with the 137th overall pick. And this, to me, may not seem like taco behavior if you look at the overall, but you're not considering that this is a 20-team league, and that means that this is Jason's first, and I think only quarterback on his roster.
Yeah, I mean, Richardson was like the 16th or 17th quarterback to go off the board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, so, Eric, do you want to say your bit first, or do you want me to go first? Because I look at this, and the only reason I say this is because this was the exact example that was used that really hit home, where it was like, stop playing for third place and try and win a championship.
Yeah.
Because you want to know the quarterback that I took before Anthony Richardson was Jared Goff. You know what Jared Goff is not going to be this year? A top five quarterback. He could be 8th, 9th, 10th. Jared Goff is not going to win me weeks.
Jared Goff could be the quarterback one.
Thanks. I want to believe that. You have no idea how much so. But they were like, drafting Jared Goff, as your QB1, is drafting for third place. Because will he get you to the playoffs? Absolutely. Now, Anthony Richardson, he could tank Jason's season. I'm not denying that. Anthony Richardson could be a Jalen Hurts. And by that, I mean that he could have a bad year this year, and he could be a top three fantasy player next year. I think that's a more likely scenario than him finishing top five this season, just because I think we've talked about like his limited playing time in college and his not-so-particularly great playing time in college.
Mm-hmm.
But the athleticism is there. I just wonder if Jason's a year too soon.
I think I largely agree with most of that. Like, I get the Richardson pick. A lot of people... I've heard a lot of podcasts saying, if you're taking Richardson, take a viable backup. Because Richardson this high with the hopes that he's top five because he's going to run the ball. But you need someone who's like the most common one I see, this is referencing Fantasy Footballers rival podcast. It's like, if you're taking Anthony Richardson, you take Geno Smith. Because you know Geno Smith is going to be...
But Geno is already gone.
Right. It's a 20-team league. It's a little bit different. But the thought is, you take someone who is going to be consistent. Because if Richardson sucks, you need someone you can plug in who will be okay. And with Jason's team, his team is fantastic. The only question mark, it's the biggest question mark, is Richardson. Personally, I have expressed... this to some people. I think Richardson's going to suck this year. He's not good at Florida. He didn't play much. And his common comparison is Cam Newton. The difference between him and Cam Newton, Richardson's more built. He's like more athletic. But Cam Newton was like an all-star in college. He was a great player at Auburn. Richardson was not. Richardson also played a total of 300 snaps, which is nothing in college compared to some of the other quarterbacks that's come out. Bryce Young played a couple of years at Alabama, and you know what you're getting from Bryce Young. Bryce Young won a national championship. Richardson played in the same conference as Bryce Young and didn't do anything. That's my rant on Anthony Richardson. I do agree he's probably going to follow more Jalen Hurts route, where it's like, yeah, not great this year, and then he figures it out next year. He learns how to throw the ball better, and then he, you know, the team utilizes the rushing better.
He's a project. I think he drafted as a project. They went and got the QB coach or offensive coordinator from Philadelphia he was the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, turned Jalen Hurts into something. Before that, he was the QB coach in Buffalo who turned Josh Allen's career around. Like, this is the best possible situation Anthony Richardson can be in. I just don't know if it happens year one. And I think he clearly the Colts are committing to a 2 to 3 year plan with their head coach and Anthony Richardson. That said, who knows what Jim Irsay does? But if they're smart and it's from what they've been saying, this is like a multi-year plan to try and develop him. Josh?
I'm a hater.
Yeah.
It makes my bones feel good. It makes me feel good. I just be hating on everything. And I'm hating right now on this wannabe rapper who is also a quarterback. Don't call me racist. He's an actual rapper. Look at the slides. Watch the video. It's okay. It's not great, but... Anthony Richardson, like Eric said, is being compared to Cam Newton. He's more athletic. He ran, what, a 4.35, 4.36, something insane like that?
He's the most fit athletic quarterback.
He's 6'4". He benched like 30-some reps.
Jesus.
He had like a 42-inch like standing jump.
Yeah.
And none of that's going to matter because he's just not a good quarterback. Like
Does he need to be a quarterback?
Cam Newton.
Can he just be a running back?
Well, Lamar tested that out, and it worked for about a year.
Well, that's all you need.
The thing is, Lamar was actually a good passer, I thought.
That
it was also his second year, too,
correct.
When Lamar won his MVP.
Yep.
Cam
yep.
also was a great passer before he destroyed his arm.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts in college was a great passer. He ran the air raid at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all these dudes,
mm-hmm.
they're athletic, and they're good runners, but they're also good at throwing the ball. Anthony Richardson has arm talent. I don't know what that means, but I think it means he throws the ball hard because he certainly ain't throwing it accurate. He had, what, 56% completion percentage in college?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Josh Allen had the same thing. Man could throw the ball 90 yards, but just not. But, yeah.
I was going to say, like, Josh Allen ruined these... I shouldn't say ruined.
Yeah.
But he got people's hopes up for being a project.
10 years ago... Anthony Richardson is not probably drafted until the third or fourth round.
He's not.
He's certainly not 104.
Because you look at like someone like Trubisky, project, played 1 year.
Yep.
Like you see his career and then you look at like Allen. And Allen was just the anomaly recently.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
But anyways.
I mean, question for you. Would you rather have Anthony Richardson or Derek Carr as your quarterback?
Yeah, that's a fun question.
Do I only get one quarterback?
Yes, it's the 20-team league. You're not taking... So Jason could have taken Richardson, then Carr. I think that might have been the safest move
see,
to make.
Yeah, see, what Eric and what you were
and
saying
that,
is like you've got to get like a solid backup.
I agree.
I would have paired Anthony Richardson with Carr. Because I think that that's a decent plan. Because you get the stable floor with Carr.
Yes.
Who I think is probably going
to
be...
You're also giving up a lot of value, though, to go two quarterbacks in the 7th and 8th round. Because no one else is drafting... I'm just going though. Like, would you rather have Richardson or Goff?
Goff.
I would rather have Goff.
Richardson or Cousins?
Cousins.
We're getting a little warmer. I would still go Cousins.
Okay.
In the 20
like,
team league.
It went Cousins, Goff, and then like 12 picks later went Richardson.
Yeah.
And so like it's like right in that I think it's not a taco pick because like that's right where he should have went. It's just what else did Jason not do on his team, I think, to give that security. Because, I don't know, I think it could be really bad if he doesn't pan out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my one concern, which is why it's on this list.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Taco.
I mean, I'd want him before Tannehill. I'd want him before Carr, Garoppolo, Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't think it's taco behavior. I think that it's right around where his ADP is going. But I'm a hater, so I had to throw it on the list so I can talk
Fair
about
enough.
Anthony Richardson.
Fair enough.
There's a slight chance he just defies history and is like this all-star player.
Right.
But just everything we've seen in the past quarterbacks, he'll be mid this year, and then if he takes like the Jalen Hurts route, he's a top three quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Not taco. Rounds 9 and 10, this is my coup de grace, John Mechie III. Now, some of you might be asking, who is John Mechie? That's exactly the point.
I don't know who this is.
He was a second-round pick last year.
He was.
Yeah.
I didn't have any picks in our Dynasty rookie draft, so
he was a second-round pick in the NFL draft.
NFL draft, yeah.
Yeah, I also, because I didn't have any picks in this Dynasty draft, I also just didn't look at rookies
all.
And so then this year, it's funny, because I had like two first-round picks in the Dynasty draft, so I did a ton of rookie prep. And now I've realized that looking back at all my redraft leagues, I have completely overvalued rookies. Because I'm like, oh, I know so much more about these guys because you spend so much more time compared to just your average like wide receiver 2 or 3 on the team. And so that'll probably come back to bite me, but I don't know, it's fun to get excited to get on the hype train. So,
anyways, John Metchie plays for the Texans, if you're not aware. They got a new offense. Returning wide receiver is pretty much just Nico Collins. They brought in Robert Woods. John Metchie was on the team last year, but he had leukemia, so he didn't play.
Yikes.
And
but he survived it?
Well, yeah, he's playing in the league now.
Well, I mean, you also said that he might be out with it, I thought, earlier.
No.
Oh, okay. So he's back.
No, he was out for all of last year. Oh, that's amazing. He's back. He's good. Wow.
That's very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That might be the most impressive thing about him, because in the preseason, he did not play well.
Well, first football action in over a year and a half, and I'm going to make the same argument in a very different manner with, like, Deshaun Watson. He probably had a lot of other stuff going on in his life for the last year and a half, so I hope he's able to come back.
I'm putting this on there because I think I got John Metchie in the 10th round, and there's a lot of wide receivers that the more I'm looking back on the draft, I'm like, dang, I probably should have taken him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Over a guy that almost didn't make the team.
Reminds me of John Brown when he had, sickle cell.
Yeah.
And, like, you drafted him, and, like, you didn't know if it was going to act up that year. But, like, he was a good player, great guy, really morale builder on the team.
Yeah.
So, if your teammate could survive leukemia, your team can win.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of hot takes on this one.
No.
But there's not a whole lot of hot takes in this round completely, because at this point, we're at pick 187.
Yeah, you're so putting flyers out there. You got to think that if you're in a 10-team league, you are done drafting 30 picks before this.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. What did we decide?
I'd say no.
I was going to say taco.
Okay.
Right. I was going to call myself a taco.
Fair.
But I appreciate it. You know, that's good moral support.
We'll go back and review this in the office.
Much like John Metchie's moral support for my team, y'all are being great moral support.
We can
go
back and see who in round 10 would have been a better pick.
Yeah. Very fair. Next round, rounds 11 and 12, we got Jacoby Brissett.
Currently quarterback 2 for the Washington Commanders. But at the time of the draft, he was still competing for the starting position with Sam Howell.
I think it was kind of already established that Sam was going to win the pick or win the job. Sam was playing really good.
The thing is, the reality is that the Washington really wanted Sam Howell to win the job.
Yeah.
And I feel like the whole narrative that if he isn't playing well, they'll turn to Jacoby Brissett is perhaps a bit overblown. But it's certainly possible. I mean, your 11th, 12th round, how many rounds is our draft? Like 15? I mean, you're just digging for any sort of player. And if you, I don't know who drafted Brissett, but depending on who their starting quarterback is, I could see where you might take the flyer.
I guess the question then becomes, does it make more sense to dig for a maybe quarterback 1 or just try and get a flyer in like a running back wide receiver position?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't get drafted here, I don't know if he gets drafted in general.
I'm not sure he does. And I think that's the biggest issue. I think you could get him from the waiver wire, probably.
I agree, but also, at the same time, it's round 11-12. There's not much going on here.
Yeah. It's hard to fault, really, any pick in these 11th through 15th rounds, except for, like, a second kicker or a second defense. Which really only happens with auto draft. Or I think Jacob has 3 or 4 defenses because that's just how he rolls.
It works for him.
Yep.
Yeah.
The man drafted the entire Chiefs offense last year and made it to the semifinals and finished 3rd. So
that's Jacob's beige flag.
Yeah.
I think
chaotic draft strategy that leads to success.
Jacob is embodied chaotic neutral.
Chaotic fun, if you ask me.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. We should do a D&D alignment chart of the league. That would be fun sometime.
What would...
I can't give anything away yet.
We can't.
No,
that might be...
No spoilers.
That might be a good topic for next episode if we're really...
if we're running out of ideas.
Maybe later in the season.
Yeah, when we're out of ideas.
The lull.
When we take our December vacation.
But next week is the U.S. Open Cup starts, or U.S. League Cup starts.
We haven't decided the name of that.
Yeah, League Open Cup, Open Cup. You can put your comments in the group
chat. The Cup Cup,
yeah. So, the Zach Zenner Memorial Cup.
There you go.
I think we can safely
call this one Hot Taco.
Yeah.
Just, it's tough making these last picks.
Yep.
The last one rounds, and I just grouped all three of these rounds together, rounds 13, 14, and 15 at 262 overall.
Oh my God.
Sam Laporta was picked.
By who?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But
someone got a steal here.
Yeah.
This isn't, is the person drafting a taco? This is, are we all tacos for letting him fall to 262?
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Because I think we are.
It's a good pick. Whoever took Laporta.
It's a great pick. I didn't know he was still there. Yeah. I would have taken him.
Oh my God. It's Rafi.
Yeah, of course.
Well, congratulations, Rafi, because that might be the pick of the draft. God damn.
It might just be. Is that his starting tight end, though, is the real question.
Did he get his starting tight end in, like, round 15?
I wouldn't put... Oh, he has Gerald Everett, so... Yeah. We'll see. Oh, it was actually his third tight end off the board.
Oh, my God.
He also went with Gesicki and then Laporta in rounds 14 and 15. So, Rafi, last year... Or, no, sorry, 2 years ago, broke up Jason's perfect season. So Jason went 11-1, and Rafi beat him with a two tight end set.
He knows.
So
power football.
Power football is the way to go, especially in PPR. So,
but any thoughts on Laporta in general? I think we all agree that he should have never been this low. Yeah, this is taco on all of us, but any thoughts on Laporta?
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited to see what he does in Ben Johnson's offense.
Yeah, the tough thing is everyone keeps talking about tight ends in year one. I feel like it's a recent development, too. Like, rookie tight ends not doing well. I would rather have Dalton Kincaid, like, if we're talking rookie tight ends, but I think Kincaid probably got taken earlier.
Yeah, I don't think Kincaid got taken 261.
Right. But still, Laporta, I mean, you're great offense. You're going to get targets because...
Well, it better be a great offense.
I mean, Jameson Williams out the first 6 weeks, so why not take a flyer on him?
I will say just I don't know what else do we have for the rest of the series.
Just thoughts on Thursday's game.
Oh, so yeah, okay, so perfect for week. You can go to Thursday's game. Very exciting, completely unintentional. The opening night matchup is Lions Chiefs. It used to always be the Super Bowl winner would play a Thursday night football against last year's. Against the team they faced in the divisional round of the season that they won the Super Bowl. That changed when the Packers-Bears kicked off Thursday night for the 100th year anniversary for the NFL. Mm-hmm. Seemed fitting. Then last year it was Bills-Rams, which was completely off the rails. This might be the most off the rails I have ever seen for a Thursday night opener.
I love it.
It's chaotic neutral at best. But what is crazy is that in our league, it is me versus Jacob. And I have Jared Goff, and he has Patrick Mahomes.
Ooh.
I have David Montgomery, and I believe that Jacob has the Chiefs. Oh, he does not have the Chiefs running back. But it is... Oh, yeah, he does. He have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who isn't going to start. But at least, but still, it's two Lions versus two Chiefs on like opening night football. And I just think that that's a very hype way to start the season. And then there's also a matchup where it's like Sunday night football is Giants versus Cowboys. And the one our league matchup is Daniel Jones versus Dak Prescott.
Ooh, oh, that's me.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it is you.
That's fun.
So, some fun games that are like, I mean, we consider like 20% of the points could be on the board Thursday night between Jacob and I. So,
any thoughts? I'm excited for this game. I can't wait for football to come back. I missed it so much. And what better way to start the season than two teams that are probably going to score 30 points each because their defenses aren't great. The Chiefs' defense is probably better than the Lions defense, but they don't have Chris Jones.
Yeah, very true. The not gambling advice. The over under, I don't know why I said that. I'm not going to say any picks right now. Over under is 52.5. That's pretty high for a standard football game. I think people know both these defenses suck.
That's an implied like 28-24.
Probably. Yeah, essentially. And yeah, as Noodle mentioned, Chris Jones not playing. There's like crazy stats, when Chris Jones is out there, they have, like, a super high, like, 32% pressure rate. If he's not out there, it drops to, like, 24. Like, it's crazy the impact Chris Jones has.
That.
He's not in there. Like, the Lions will have a lot of time to throw the ball. They're just going to. Kind of sucks Jameson Williams isn't playing, and most likely Kelce, because then you're looking at, like, yeah, like a 35-32 game. I don't know why I picked those two numbers. But also, fun fact, these two quarterbacks haven't played each other since the Rams-Chiefs 2018 game.
Oh, really? Like the 51-45
yes, game? Crazy
game. Oh my
these
gosh.
Two have not played each other since.
Oh, man, this is going to be crazy.
I had homework to do the next day for college, and I remember turning it on in the background, and I just, as soon as the game like got like halfway through the first quarter, just shut the laptop, and I was, this is historical.
That game, probably, in my opinion, the greatest regular season NFL game of all time.
Yes.
And you get to see it again. Not as much firepower as that last game. You're no Todd Gurley, no Tyreek Hill, but still the two quarterbacks who are in that game.
That is a fun fact. Yeah.
You got good wide receivers. You know, you got Amon-Ra.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
You got MVS.
Yep.
I was going to say, name the second best wide receiver on that field.
Kadarius Toney.
Honestly,
yeah. Unironically, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he might be. Otherwise, I was going to say Jerick McKinnon.
Yes.
Or Dane Montgomery.
Jerick
McKinnon's probably lining up at wide receiver. Jahmyr Gibbs might just be.
He might be.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So look forward to that. If this podcast comes out before that game.
Yeah, it'll come out Thursday morning.
All
right. You're listening to it right now.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a bit too late. Hope you listen to this
before
the game starts.
If you don't listen to it before the game and the game was like 17-10, it was a defensive battle. That's to be expected.
Don't add us if we're completely wrong.
We'll see. My not gambling advice, what I'm personally taking, I like the under. Just because it's week one, and I know last year every under hit a couple like weeks just because offenses didn't know what to do against defenses, it seemed like. That's my personal.
It comes in waves. Last year, however, complete anomaly in scoring. Given we have 3 or 4 years of data points when it comes to half-point PPR. Last year, scoring was down by, on a whole of the entire season, there was like 2,000 fewer points scored last year than 2 years prior. Now, 2 years prior was the COVID year, so I guess you could say that there was a bunch of like roster issues, but there was also no stadium. So like home or away offenses had a much higher rating than with crowds.
Gotcha.
So there's that consideration as well. But it'll be interesting to see. Yeah. There should be pointflation this year with PPR.
Yeah.
And it just remains to be seen.
And defense.
And defenses. So it also will be, the defenses part will be very masked by the PPR. So it'll be interesting to see.
All right. Well,
it's back.
It's back. Yeah, it's coming home. Any final week one bold predictions sponsored by Chex Mix? Chex Mix, sponsor us. We'll give a great read, I promise.
Well, my bold prediction is that despite currently being projected to lose by 25 points, Christian will defeat Eric.
Ooh, that's
one.
A good
it's
bold
just
one.
Not happening. Especially if Cup's not playing, which I don't think he is.
Why is Michael Carter Christian's RB2?
My bold prediction?
All right, I take back my bold prediction.
That's right.
My bold prediction isn't going to be fantasy related. It's going to be just normal football. There will be a shutout week one. I just don't know who.
I think, all right. My bold prediction, there will be a tie.
Ooh.
In the NFL or in our league?
In the NFL. No,
okay.
In our league, predicting that is insane.
Okay, all right. I have a different bold prediction. Despite being projected to lose by 21 points, Sydney will defeat RJ. Reigning champion.
That's another bold one.
Sure. That's my locked in bold prediction.
What happens if we're right? Do we like?
Yeah, I don't know.
I get to call RJ. Actually, should I call RJ right now?
Yeah. Which brings us to our final segment.
What
the heck is going on here?
Right now.
Yeah. What the heck is going on here? Why are we calling RJ?
I outed myself.
Also, quick, small. What the heck is going on here? I think like week one. There's like 9 games happening at noon on Sunday. It's like way too many. And then there's like.
Hello.
Hey, RJ, you're on the podcast right now. How you doing?
I am great.
So, we just had a bold prediction that was made that you, despite being projected to beat Sydney by 21 points this week, would lose. Wondering if you had a comment about that.
Where is this? Who's the source on this bold prediction?
That would be Jackson.
That would be me.
Oh, basis for such a prediction?
That I think Sydney has better running backs than... But, well, I was on a different matchup, so... Sydney has better running backs than you do, and a better quarterback, and better wide receivers, and a better tight end, and a better defense.
But that doesn't mean they're going to score more points. They might be better at football, but they're not better at fantasy football.
Okay.
That's fair.
So, I think defending champion, I like my odds week one. We're going to come out and play like we did last year. And I got a lot of confidence in the boys that are drafted. So, that's all the comments I have for now. I'll let the team do the talking this week.
Do you have any comments on the quarterback controversy? Is Baker Mayfield going to get the start by any chance over Geno?
What I can let you guys in on is that there are some negotiations going on behind some closed doors. With some more ghost members of the league. So there might be a surprise switch come Sunday.
Okay, and then any comments? I know you'd sent me personally a message that Marquez Callaway might be the Marquez Callaway of 2023. Man is no longer on an NFL team. Is he going to continue to stay on your roster? And if so, are you just kind of using it as a bridge program to help him find something else to do?
Let's say he's not on a team right now. I think there's a lot of opportunity down the road. And just because he's not getting a start this week doesn't mean he won't be an impact player down the road. So I think the 0 point projection is fair this week, but I don't necessarily think that'll hold up the rest of the season.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Coach Kirsten. Congratulations again on being the defending champion, and wish you the best of luck this week.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a good one. Thanks to all the fans out there.
Love the team name, by the way.
Yeah, Human Geno Project. Great name.
It was. I definitely one of the top three this season.
That was a very measured response.
It was a
response from RJ.
It was a prepared interview that I never messaged him for ahead of time.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yep.
So.
Do we need to have him sign a waiver or something?
Oh, you do that by just entering into the league.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Less work for the legal team.
Jackson has all our private information.
So, I mean, why do you think I continue to be commissioner? It's so profitable. Huh? We don't have to report our salaries. Like, there was a push a couple years ago, Josh, where you're like, we should become a 501c3 so all of our winnings were non-taxed. And I don't know if you realize, but I ran a shadow campaign to shut that down because I can't have you all knowing my salary, so.
Yeah, I guess. Why... sell our data to Spotify when Jackson sells it himself.
So, well,
with that,
best of luck to everyone in week one. Welcome back to football, and we will see you again next week.
Go Packers!